Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chertletau from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minneapolis is Mark Lanterman. Mark is the Chief Technology Officer of Computer Forensic Services. He's also a past speaker at our events and an author of an article in the upcoming SCCE Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual. Mark, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
So we're going to talk today about cyber vigilance and cyber resiliency, which was the subject of your article. And let's dive right into this. When it comes to cybersecurity, you recommend both reactive and proactive strategies. Can you give us some examples of both of those?
Yeah, certainly. So, Adam, by reactive, what I'm referring to is something bad has happened. The we're being sued. The IRS has just seized our filing cabinets. The SEC has just notified us of an investigation. We just had a key employee quit, and we think he or she took confidential information. So by reactive, I'm referring to something bad has happened. And then that you need a plan. You need a strategy on how to react to that type of fast-moving, fluid situation. By proactive strategies, what I'm referring to are things that an organization can do ahead of time to help mitigate the pain, to help mitigate the damage if and when, or I guess when, because bad things always happen, when something bad happens. So that could be policies. Do we have document retention policies? Are we conducting security assessments, penetration tests? Are we conducting training? Are we training our employees on the dangers of phishing and being proactive about bringing this to our employees' attention? So that's what I'm referring to as reactive versus proactive. You need strategies for both.
Yeah, absolutely, because certainly both do occur on an ongoing basis for most organizations. Now, you're an advocate for cyber incident response teams. The name is pretty self-explanatory, but obviously the nuances in how it works is more complicated. What kind of people should they include, and what should be their responsibilities?
You know, Adam, that's a really good question. You know, compliance managers cannot, do this on their own. So it's very important to involve legal. Legal and compliance will be the two groups essentially driving this bus. And then working at the direction of legal, because you want to keep the attorney-client work product privilege in place, you're going to want to bring in experts. And you should have your legal team, your compliance team, and your experts identified ahead of any type of critical cyber incident. You want to have your team drafted before game day. And then, you also want to identify and include on the team trusted IT, trusted organization IT staff. And you really do want to keep this on a need-to-know basis, only because in the majority of our investigations, we do identify an inside threat. So again, discretion when you are discussing this. So identify trusted IT people. And then one thing that is overlooked in most of our cases, PR. Cyber risk is business risk, and it's also reputational risk. And I think it's most important to control the message, control communications with the client. Perhaps because of the nature of the data breach, you're now getting media inquiries. You have to at least have a PR consultant identified to assist in responding to these inquiries. And then certainly not last but not least, legal and compliance need to work together to inform and gather support from the C-suite.
Yeah, the C-suite support is really going to obviously be important given the amount of resources that are going to be needed to handle this issue and make sure that they're available. Now, every organization is going to likely be the victim of an attack sooner or later. What's the best way to determine how at risk your organization is to a cyber attack?
Yeah, and again, it's somewhat of a difficult question to answer because no organization is too small. I hear so many small businesses say, well, you know, we're small, no one would do this to us. They will do it to you because you are small and because you are likely not investing in security. I would argue that any organization that has any device connected to the internet is a potential target. You know, even if your company doesn't have computers, if you have devices connected to the internet, like a remote controlled HVAC system, you are still at risk. So we can no longer assume that because we're a small to medium sized company, you know, who's going to want to attack us. That's where the majority of these attacks are, in fact, happening. So I guess the easiest way to determine how at risk an organization is to an attack is to assume you are very at risk.
Yeah, I think all of us need to be aware of that, sadly, in our personal lives too. Now, what are some of the practices that you see as consistent deficiencies across organizations in the face of these risks?
You know, another great question. There are a number of consistent failings that we're seeing. We are seeing, right off the bat, we are seeing a lack of organizational password auditing. We were involved in a breach investigation last month in which over 10% of the employees of this compromised organization, over 10% of the employees had passwords of password or password 123. And yet we wonder, how is it that we were hacked? Part of IT's function should be auditing the use of more complex passwords. The next deficiency that we're seeing is a lack of two-factor authentication, meaning in order to log into an account, you need both a password and something else. And typically that's a text code. That's a code that's sent via text message to a phone. And we're seeing a lack of two-factor authentication. And just last week, we had an organization tell us we don't want to do two-factor authentication because what will we do if the cloud goes down? And I was pretty shocked to hear that. So it's easy, it's cheap, and it's effective. Enable two-factor authentication for access to your accounts, including email accounts. The next is we are still running into this idea that especially in small to medium-sized organizations, that security is just a necessary evil. You don't add to the bottom line. You're really just a cost. You're a drain on the business, and I think that is not a good culture, not a good philosophy. Conversely, we're seeing larger organizations. They seem to have learned valuable lessons from some of the major breaches that have occurred, including Target and Home Depot. We're seeing lessons that have come out of those data breaches, seeing how these larger organizations have seen turnovers of the C-suite because of these breaches, turnover of boards of directors because of these data breaches. So I think larger organizations realize that these attacks can have a severe impact on the executive staff. And I think that that's a message that still needs to come across to small and medium-sized businesses.
Well, it's certainly one that would focus a lot of those top-level resources if they got it. So in a little bit of time left, let me ask one last big question for you. When a breach occurs, what's the best initial set of responses that the compliance, the IT, all the teams together can do to have the most positive outcomes?
So, yes. And again, great question. Hopefully, we have a game plan already in place. Okay. Event day is not the day to put your plan in place. So, have a plan. That plan should have step one, assemble the team, compliance, legal, experts, IT, C-suite, PR. Assemble the team. Activate the plan that you have already laid out, and then follow the plan. Yes, you know, every event is different. Every event is unique. They're fluid, but follow the plan. Resist the temptation to deviate from the plan that you have already thought through with cooler heads. You know, sometimes we make mistakes when we're anxious, when we're under pressure, when we're under attack. Follow the plan.
Well, thank you for that counsel, and thank you also for giving people a plan to follow. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.